Parenting is hard and fun and exhausting and soul-filling and all the things. And let's be honest, when someone says you've got it down to an art, you think to yourself, I'm just making it up as I go. And we are too. Alamo City Moms is pleased to bring you this extension of our site and favorite articles, covering the funny, the hard, the happy, and the cringy, reminding you that we're all in this together and we're all making it up as we go. Thank you to the Juzium for being a sponsor of this podcast. The Juzium's newest holiday exhibit, the Juzium Express, Tiny Trains and Trolleys, is open from November 6th to January 2nd. Saying Thanks is Not a Bad Thing by Alejandra, originally published November 24th, 2019. I recently read a post that said manners shouldn't be forced on children, as in, don't force your kids to mutter please and thank you. Instead, instill in them true gratitude. While I'm all for teaching children to be truly grateful, I think it's an interesting approach to suggest that we not teach our children to repeat words of thankfulness. I'm not trying to stir the pot here, let me explain. There are a million different parenting styles, but in the end, we're all in this together trying to raise decent human beings. As much as we parents don't always agree with each other, we can all still respect our fellow moms or dads and their parenting approach. Unless a parent's style includes harming his or her children, no parenting style is better than another, and that's the beauty of it. For all of us to live peacefully in this space that we share, we must learn to respect our differences. For instance, if I don't have a problem letting my kids vandalize my house with spray paint, but I know my neighbor hates graffiti, I think it's only fair that my kids don't use the neighbor's fence for their art, right? Note, in this scenario, I would be the neighbor, so please tell your kids not to vandalize my house. One of my biggest pet peeves is people who don't acknowledge when someone holds the door open for them. I'm sure it's happened to you. You're entering a building, a person is walking not far behind you, and because you're a nice person, you stop and hold the door for them so it doesn't hit them in the face. But instead of noticing that the door isn't magically holding itself open, they just walk past without a thanks, a smile, or a nod. Nothing. I can't stand that. I know if I'm making the decision to hold the door open for a stranger, I should do it because I want to, and not because I'm expecting a thank you in return. I believe I should be respectful of you regardless of anyone's response. That's why I don't go running after someone who refuses to acknowledge my kindness and say, "Excuse me, you forgot to say thank you." But isn't it an unspoken agreement that we should all at least try to be nice to each other? This is probably one reason I utter, "And what do we say, boys?" whenever the cashier at HEB hands my kids some buddy bucks, and then they take more than 3 seconds to respond. Someone once told me that if I push my children to say thank you, they will only say it in a robotic way and not really mean it, and that politeness is overrated because you're putting others before yourself. But I don't think it's one or the other. You can be polite and still be grateful. You can be courteous and still be sincere. You can acknowledge others and still be independent. You can be respectful to others and still have self-respect. While I respect someone's decision to not make their kids say thanks as an immediate response, I still believe please and thank you are magic words that are even better when we really mean them. Being grateful and appreciative are important virtues and amazing feelings that all of us adults and children should strive to experience. But the actual act of being thankful is a strong social skill that sometimes can make the difference. Whether you decide to teach your children to say the words or to let them figure out thankfulness on their own, the important thing is to raise kind, strong, good-hearted children who respect each other, because those are the kind of people we need. In the meantime, I'll try to nod, smile, or say thanks when someone does something nice for me, even if they don't feel like saying it back. Thank you to the Juzium for being a sponsor of this podcast. The Juzium's newest holiday exhibit, the Juzium Express, Tiny Trains and Trolleys, is open from November 6th to January 2nd. Soft Surroundings, My Magical Wonderland by Ashley, originally published in September of 2016. Lean in closely, I need to tell you a secret. I'm 2 seconds away from turning 39 and I'm already digging the mature lady stores. My personal favorite, Soft Surroundings. The crisp creases and tailored pants, embellished tunics, $90 nightgowns, washable jersey dresses with thick elastic waist leggings, statement necklaces, all of it. It is speaking to me in mature lady language I am just beginning to understand. It draws me in with the promises of goblets of white wine, dancing barefoot in a French pedicure underneath an outdoor crystal chandelier, Joan London circa 1993 haircuts, and pensive glances while sniffing floral bouquets. Everything that not long ago would throw me into the tornadic spins of a rage spiral, but now hypnotically draws me in. I've even written a poem about this. This turns into a really great song after 2 or 5 glasses of Cabernet. Come along to my magical wonderland, full of cats, white wine, and smiles. This ruched bedspread offers 47 ruffles, and yet it is not enough. Peek with me through these tonal raw silk curtains at my neighbor Deborah in her reverie. We will all delight in the beauty of the morning, wearing dry clean only rayon caftans, barefoot and free. There are 14 more stanzas, but I'll spare you. If you're not yet familiar with Soft Surroundings, don't worry, you will be. This is how one becomes sucked into their vortex of linen leisure wear. 1. You receive Soft Surroundings catalogs in the mail for 3 years, consistently tossing them in the trash without a glance. 2. The catalog arrives in year 4, and your subconscious tells you the woman on the cover in the crinkled broom skirt and belted gauze top, smiling at no one in particular and drinking a glass of wine, will no longer be ignored. 3. You give in to this cover model, an extra seemingly pulled from some Diane Lane romp through Tuscany film, and cautiously flip through the pages. 4. You make up terrible jokes about how ridiculous it all is, post them on Facebook, and then secretly visit the store to see what experiencing perimenopause with a closet full of viscose tunics and eyelash fringe Euro shams would be like. Visiting an actual Soft Surroundings store smells like the tranquil home of a woman who favors the shabby chic life and endless varieties of shirts with snap cuffs, roll tab sleeves. To determine if you are, in fact, a Soft Surrounding woman's, you will agree with or respond affirmatively to the following. Sensuous, luxurious, carefree, elaborately smocked hemline, epicurean, and mysterious are all words you would use to describe your ideal romantic relationship or candle scent. Your online dating profile would read, "Urban gypsy loves floral prints and the color aubergine. Come away with me to Morocco so I can better utilize my collection of beaded tunics and bangle bracelets, or we can just drink a bunch of wine on my patio and I will wear my $150 genteel gauze pajama set." Tunic, caftan, cami, shrug, cowl top, weekend tank, and embellished thong sandal are each part of your general vocabulary. If moving up in age entails dressing like a woman with unattainable notions of romance who needs to eat, pray, love her way around province to recover barefoot and get perpetually drunk on Cabernet in a Victorian nightgown, then I'm not quite ready for it. But if it means wondering about my home buzzed and barefoot in a chiffon tunic with no pants for 30 or more years, then count me in. Stay tuned for my next pieces. Dress Barn, for the times you want to pretend you're Mad Men's Joan Holloway or Meghan Draper in the privacy of a suburban strip mall dressing room, and Marshalls, where you go for affordable shoes but end up buying 27 throw pillows because they are next to the seasonal decor and kitchenware and you can't tear yourself away again. For reference, I asked my Facebook friends if they had any strong feelings about the Soft Surroundings catalog, and they responded with varying degrees of familiarity. My strong feeling is that in order to afford the clothes in the catalog, I'd have to sell a kidney. Soft Surroundings sounds like a bad adult contemporary album. One day I walked into Soft Surroundings store at La Cantera. I'd never heard of it before, so I decided to explore, and nothing seemed particularly soft, so I walked out. I wish I had a caftan wearing life. Barefoot, wearing a caftan, and drinking a glass of wine is how I want to move through life. Thank you to the Juzium for being a sponsor of this podcast. The museum's newest holiday exhibit, the Museum Express, Tiny Trains and Trolleys, is open from November 6th to January 2nd. Dear Daughter, I Hope You Ugly Cry, by Kathy, originally published in December of 2019. Dear Daughter, as we quickly approach another birthday of yours, I want to explain that there is no reason to be alarmed if you find me sitting on the couch, shedding a few tears on the cover of your baby book. You see, sweet, strong-willed firstborn of mine, since becoming a mother, I tend to cry more tears for all sorts of reasons. But what I am about to share with you is advice that was either bestowed to me by my closest loved ones or a creation of my own thoughts and hopes for you, based on past wishes and experiences that only a mother can provide. While each of these express emotions through tears, you'll also find a life lesson. When I dry your cheeks and rub your shoulders, I count on your understanding that I will always be here for you, tissues and all. When Friday at 3 p.m. has left you exhausted and unable to fathom partaking in any activity, I hope you ugly cry. May the comforts of home and your favorite movie refresh and center your soul for the next week. When you don't quite achieve the winning status you envisioned at the competition that you planned and prepared for, I hope you ugly cry. When it does come time for you to shine in the winner's circle, I hope you remember your past frustration and savor each strip of that shiny blue ribbon. When your closest friends decide to make plans with other friends and forgets to fill you in, I hope you ugly cry. May that feeling in the pit of your stomach act as a driving force to include others. For the times when you cannot understand why I stand firm on my answers that do not align with your current wants, I hope you ugly cry. The madness of my mothering will serve as a constant in your upbringing and one that you will hopefully secretly crave well into your teen years. When you find a new student in school, often sitting by him or herself, I hope you ugly cry. May the hurt you feel in your heart for a peer push you to make the first move and take a seat at the table. When you receive a disappointing grade on a test for which you studied your heart out, I hope you ugly cry. No matter the hours or effort put forth in a subject, there will be a time when you fail. Use that failing grade to light a fire within and ask for help from a teacher or friend on ways to come back stronger. When the time comes to say goodbye to a beloved pet, I hope you ugly cry. May the time well spent with one of God's creatures remind you to be grateful for the seasons together here on earth while stressing the fragility of life around us. When you witness your brother hurt in any way due to physical or emotional pain, I hope you ugly cry. Your dad and I could give you no greater gift than that of the bond you share with your sibling. With the love you have for one another comes the anguish over each other's pain. Channel that strength, for you have each other for a lifetime. When you feel as if you aren't being heard or the chaos is too loud, I hope you ugly cry. May that deliver a message to us, your family, to quiet the noise around you to better hear and understand what you are saying or trying to. For the TV show that you secretly like to watch but are afraid to admit to enjoying for fear that you'll be labeled a baby, I hope you ugly cry. Don't listen to the world, sweet girl. It wants you to grow up too fast. If I watch shows from my childhood for comfort, so can you. When you feel stuck between what is popular and what is right, I hope you ugly cry. That means your conscience is working overtime against the environmental pulls around you. May you stick to the values we instill in you and never shy away from doing the right thing. The fulfillment of doing what's right lasts longer than the minute of popularity. In all honesty, this list is never ending and ever changing. It was easy to compose because I have ugly cried for these things and more. My hope, though, dear firstborn daughter of mine, is that my words echo clarity to you on the days when nothing else makes sense. On the days when you declare the world and all that it entails is your enemy, I stand as your ally. For the times you bottle up too many emotions to name and know that they are one common away from bubbling out, let me help you find their names and place them into boxes. And when all else fails and you simply just want to cry it out, accept my ears as a sounding board, my heart as a vault, and my shoulders as a resting place for your head. For there is no place I'd rather be than here for you. Love you a bushel and a peck, Mommy. Kind, by Kimberly, originally published October 2021. My sons know the phrase well, please be kind. I say this to them over and over all the time, and it's my response to almost any issue or argument they bring me. When they are at odds about which movie to watch after dinner, please be kind. When they are jumping into the car to buckle up and head to a friend's house, please be kind. When they are dropped off at school with their teacher, please be kind. And when they've had their feelings hurt by another child or adult, please be kind. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the television and watch the morning news or scroll through social media, kindness seems hard to find. A lack of it is what makes me think all things have gone by the wayside. In a time when the world is in such a vulnerable place, why not just be kind to one another? The answer is simple. Sometimes it's hard to be kind. When we disagree with one another or feel passionately about our views, it can be hard to show compassion to the other side. Leaning into kindness comes with practice. It comes with learning that everyone's views are valid, even if you happen to disagree with them. Personally, disagreeing is something I'm quite good at, but not proud of. I have strong opinions and always have. When I was in elementary school, I was very chatty and not so good at listening. Fortunately, my classmates put up with my assertiveness until one teacher really put things into perspective for me. My third grade teacher, yes, I can remember it that far back, often said to us, "You don't have to agree with one another, but you do have to be kind." Simple but powerful words. I don't think I fully appreciated that phrase then, but I do remember hearing it over and over and over again. And guess what? It stuck. That's because repetition leads to retention. At least for me it did. Although I was never unkind to my peers, I never listened well either. I heard opinions but often responded by speaking louder with my own. Throughout adolescence and young adulthood, I struggled with finding a balance between sharing my point of view while also trying to better understand the views of others. No one is perfect, but practice can get us closer to it. Being kind can mean so many things, but mainly it means giving others the space to be themselves and giving yourself the grace to be you. Being kind might seem simple, but it's something I feel strongly about. It's something I want my children to feel, share, and retain throughout their lives. Even when it feels hard, kindness always wins. It is through kindness that change is made, and it is through kindness that people are made to feel heard, appreciated, and included. Admittedly, it's hard to practice what you preach. I am not perfect, nor am I always kind when I feel upset or hurt, but I try to put my best foot and thoughts forward as often as I can, and I expect the same from my boys. Because at the end of the day, no matter how smart, athletic, funny, or good-looking you might be, people don't remember outward appearances. They remember how you made them feel. They remember kindness. So please, let's lean in and let's be kind. Thank you to the Doozeum for being a sponsor of this podcast. The Doozeum's newest holiday exhibit, the Doozeum Express, Tiny Trains and Trolleys, is open from November 6th to January 2nd. Thanks for sharing a part of your day with us. Alamo City Moms is a San Antonio-based parenting resource by local moms for local moms. You can find the original articles from this episode on our site at alamocitymoms.com. If you enjoyed listening, please give us a 5-star rating. It's like a virtual high five from you to us. And remember, you've got this.